What's going on, people? I'm super stoked, amped. Episode 71, the big 7-1, Evgeny Malkin 71. I can't think of any other.
Probably athletes, some offensive lineman or something like that.
Probably some linemen. All about sports, and you're going to see why we're making all these sports references. But hey, anyway, welcome. How you doing?
What's going on? Welcome. We're
this
here.
Is where you guys answer. You say, yes. Oh, I'm doing
call
great.
Call in response.
Call in response.
We're all doing good.
1-800-NISTO-BROS. That's not a real phone number, so please don't try it. But maybe we'll get it. Maybe we'll get it working.
You never know. You never know what the NISTO Bros got in store. One thing that we always got in store is the merch, though. The merch is always in store.
That was nice. You can in the store. It's in the store.
In the store. Click the link in the description. You can get a mug like Mike is sipping out, very fancy, like he's a little British lad. And you can use code NISTO Ships for free shipping on all your future orders. And then
what if we just did a whole episode with an accent?
Oh, that would be
that's kind of how this all started.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. But there's also a link in our Instagram bio. Follow us at NISTO Bros, and you can get some merch there. Mount Rushmore, NISTO drinks, NISTO eats, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
But we got a dinner date.
We do
today. And,
we did not announce it on Wednesday,
but it's in the title, so you see it. You know who
it's
it
in
is.
The title. You know
it's
who it
the
is.
The guy.
It's the man. It's the Vinny Mac, yeah. Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
And this should be borderline heated. I think Vince would probably get fed up with us after like half a question.
Yeah,
but he's not really here, so we can ask him all the hard-hitting questions.
Yes, and we're gonna have a good time with that later in the episode, so stick around. But we are gonna kick it off how we always do with some birthdays. So August 7th is when this is getting posted, so we are gonna say a happy birthday August 7th to greatest baseball player alive, maybe Mike Trout.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know if that's a hot take anymore, if that's just kind of that's canon at this point. He's been like top three MVP voting like every single season of his career or something like that. Probably not this season because he's missed so much time.
Unfortunately,
but I think we
still made the all-star team.
Still made the all-star team. But I think we've talked about it on the pod too, but definitely off the pod. You know, everyone's sentiment is we got to get this guy in the playoffs. We got to see Mike Trout in playoff baseball. He's only been there once, and they lost in the first round. So it's, you know, the AL West is a tough division, but hopefully him, Ohtani, Rendon, they can put it together with the rest of the squad soon. Cause you know, happy birthday to him. But you know that what that means, he's another year older. You know, there's only so many years of Mike Trout's prime to go through. So
does this get him to 30?
I think I'm gonna double check
30 or I think 29.
I think that Michael Randall Trout is gonna be 30.
No, Michael Joseph Trout is either 29 or 30, and there's no way I'm 10 years off again. Like last week.
Yeah, he's turning the big 3-0. So you know, that's almost the turning point. Yeah,
that is. They always said the wrong side of 30 when it comes to athletes.
And athletes, yeah. So neither of us were right. No. I think I was closer, just like a little bit more of an out there name.
Really?
Michael Nelson.
Right? Nelson.
Nelson.
Never would have. I don't
Nelson,
know.
Nelson, Randall, you know, they're kind of on the same.
Close.
Okay.
So we got to burn through these because we do have four birthdays. And, well, you'll see. Maybe you guys will pick up on the trend. I'm going for this one. I mentioned Gino Malkin, Evgeny Malkin. Happy birthday to, like, his partner, like the guy, like they're the 1-2 in Pittsburgh for the longest time. Sid the Kid, Sidney Crosby, excuse me, the second best player in the world right now. No, not Alex Ovechkin, Connor McDavid. I said it.
He said it.
Sid the Kid is definitely on the wrong side of 30. I think he's turning the big 3-5. I think he's 35, 36.
Yeah, getting up there for sure.
I think Ovi's a year older. Ovi's 36, and I think Sid is 35. But what can you say? I mean, all jokes aside, besides Connor McDavid being the best player in the world right now, Sid is like, he's one of the best players from like the 2000s, 2010s,
yeah,
you know, like
sure. Undisputed.
It was a shame the early stages of his career because he was such a little whiny beep. I'm going to try not to say anything close to a curse word because I used all of my curses last week. But yeah, he was such a little baby. But then like there was this weird turning point where he became a bit more respectable. And even when he was a little baby, he still had to respect the guy's talent. You know what I mean? So happy birthday, Sidney. No middle name, Crosby. I'm going middle name. He's Canadian.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to go Sidney Alexander.
Imagine that.
Ooh, both of us were wrong once again.
Fiddlesticks. Sidney.
Oh, wow. He's only turning 34.
Oh, wow. He's got 10 more years left.
Maybe. Just like Tom Brady, he's playing to 44.
Or Sidney Yager.
Patrick Crosby.
Like Patrick Waugh or Patrick Kane.
I was thinking Patrick Kane. Yeah, another...
Kane's American. Waugh is Canadian, though. So,
Happy birthday, Sidney Crosby. And also, happy birthday to new Chicago Bull, DeMar DeRozan. Sign and trade just went down in NBA free agency. Left the Spurs and went to the Chicago Bulls. Pretty crazy move, teaming up with Zach LaVine and Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball just signed in Chicago too. Right. So Chicago's building something nice, and you know they have now this aging veteran star of DeMar DeRozan. I'm also guessing he's in that 33, 34 range. We'll see when we.
I think 33 sounded about right.
But you know that in basketball, especially, that's definitely getting up there. But hopefully, he will be able to contribute in that system under Billy Donovan.
Good for the Bulls. Coach.
Yeah.
Good for the Bulls. They've been just kind of there for a number of years. And you know what? Good for Zach LaVine. He's been like the guy there for a very long time. Or not for a very long time, but you know,
for a few years.
A few years. And he's had nobody else around him. So now he's got, you know, DeRozan and Ball. But DeRozan it's definitely the start of something new. I don't remember how the rest of the song goes.
I'm going to say happy birthday again, but I'm going to say his middle name this time, and I'm going to say it 100% correct, and I think it's going to be DeMar Lamar DeRozan.
Is that your actual guess?
Yes, it is.
That's a shoot guess. I'm going to go DeMar Razor, because that kind of
a shoot guess.
Yeah, it's not gonna be right. I don't know what else it would be. So maybe Akam, like the authors of pain here.
Yeah, I gotcha. We got.
So what's he calling?
We got. Oh man, we again. Year off. He's only turning 32.
Oh, good for him. He's so got seven more years.
Yeah, he's got seven more years. He's not even gonna be old by the end of the contract. You got DeMar Darnell DeRozan. He's triple D.
I should have went with it. I felt good about Darnell.
No, I didn't. DeMar Darnell DeRozan. That's a tough one.
Mouthful. That's a tough one.
DeMar Darnell DeRozan. He's got all those, man.
Triple D's. So if you guys have caught on to the trend here, I'll give you one guess. It's a football player.
Yep. He's every major sport.
Sorry, soccer. But, yeah. Oh, wow. Threw the thumbs down. Happy birthday to Kyler, not Tyler, Murray, the quarterback baseball player for not the St. Louis Cardinals, the Arizona Cardinals.
Right.
He's really good. I honestly hate him. And he's really? I hate him because of Madden. Okay? Oh. Hear me out. I would play, shout out to my buddy Charlie. I play against him all the time. And he loved picking the Cardinals. That's like his second team, which I respect. But if you have a fast quarterback.
Oh, it's cheese.
You get murked.
Yeah.
All he would do screens and like deep throws, and like he would just start scrambling with Kyler Murray. So I hate that guy. No, I don't actually hate him, but he's definitely not over 30.
No, definitely not. He's I think this is only his third year in the league or something like that.
Yeah, I want to say he's probably like 24.
Yeah. Another team kind of on the come up, the Cardinals. You know, they got DeAndre Hopkins. They just signed J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt's a Cardinal now. So, you know, sure enough, the defense, and then got the offensive weapons too. Larry Fitzgerald's going to play until he's 900 or something like that.
It certainly seems that way.
Speaking of age and all these birthdays, but yeah, I'm going to say, you know, obviously the temptation is to guess Tyler or Skyler or
Skyler.
Something. Tyler, Skyler. I'm going to guess Tyler Matthew Murray.
I'm going Kyler DeMarcus.
Ooh, okay. That's a good one.
I don't know how I feel about it.
Ooh, Kyler Cole Murray is turning 24. Good job, Mike.
I said I finally got a birthday right.
There you go.
Kyler Cole, baby. I don't know. Well, maybe we'll ask Vinny Mac about Kyler Cole, baby.
Yeah. Well,
what the heck's going on there?
I will continue. I'll go to the next one on this day.
August 7th. We got to burn through these and our episodes because we're already at 11 minutes.
Yeah, no, we're chilling.
We're chilling. And we'd be going overtime anyway. So
1782, roughly, roughly 100 plus or 300 plus. I don't know, something like that. George Washington creates the Purple Heart Medal. You know, in this little description, it was originally called the Badge of Military Merit, and he created it as commander of the Continental Army in 1782. And we just thought that was really cool.
Yeah. What a king. We know of the Purple Heart Medal, and it was something that popped out, you know, when we look for these. We're like, wow, it's been around for that long. So good job, Georgie Dubs. Yes. We're boys, so I can call him that.
Yeah, Georgie Dubs.
Yeah, what Georgie up?
Dubs. He's right here.
He's right there. There he is. See, I told you we're boys. On our t-shirts. Boys.
We're gracing the Stoneheads together. You know us, man.
Speaking of Stoneheads, no, that has no correlation.
Well, no, there's Stoneheads in this place, right? It's like a tropical island. There's probably some Stoneheads.
Maybe some like tikis or something. Yeah. In 1820, just a few years ago, in Hawaii, that's what we're talking about.
This is almost 200 years ago. Exactly. It's pretty crazy.
There'd be 201 years.
Yeah, 201. Almost. Yeah.
The first potatoes were planted in Hawaii. What,
man?
Flip.
Yeah.
What? That's so out there. We had to throw that in because it's just so weird. Very weird. In Hawaii. Very wild.
I didn't know their climate was conducive to growing potatoes.
I didn't either.
I thought they grew a lot of like potatoes in Ireland, right? And Idaho. Those are very cold.
Idaho. Yeah.
Very cold climates, you know, not very warm and tropical. So it is kind of weird that they started growing them. Maybe they don't really grow them that much. But also,
potatoes are great.
Potatoes are.
They have range.
Potato chips, French fries. Oh, so good. Yesterday, I ate French fries and I ate potato chips, and I was actually just thinking about it. I'm like, man, potatoes. They're potatoes. So good.
Am I right?
All the forms. Okay.
I don't want to go on into the
potato. Yeah, you don't love mashed potatoes.
I don't like mashed potatoes. No.
Yeah. Or baked.
They need to be in like a chip or a fry form. Potato skins are okay if you load those suckers up with like cheese and bacon. I think it's like a texture thing for me. I don't know.
Okay, that makes sense. You know, but just kind of potatoes like are great. Anyway. I'm glad Hawaii got them 201 years ago today. Bless up to Hawaii. All right.
You think they still got them?
I think that they don't. I think that they stopped it. I think that
the OG plant is gone.
I think that they exported. They're importing their potatoes now instead of trying to grow them.
Yeah, makes sense. Probably.
But we'll see. I'm not going to look it up after. Let us know. All right.
Yeah. Let us know. Hawaii connoisseurs.
So this week's Nisto Drinks episode was a cool one. The first one after the triple digits, 101.
No, big 101. Cool. 101 Dalmatians.
Yes, 101 Dalmatians for Stunkist strawberry lemonade. I was pretty pumped about it, to be honest. Like, it looked cool. I said it in the episode. I thought the colors were really cool. Like, I don't know, you know, the pink and the blue. Just thought they complements each other well. But it didn't really blow me away. And it was something I was thinking about. It's like, I'm not really sure, like, when I'm picking up a strawberry lemonade soda, you know? Yeah. I love strawberry lemonade. I think strawberry lemonade is a great thing. It's a very good complementary flavors, but it's just like, I would get a strawberry lemonade.
Right. You know, if you want a soda, you'll get a soda. If you want a strawberry lemonade, you'll get a strawberry lemonade. I think I've ever wanted both in one.
Yeah. And also I wanted to mention, I blanked on it, but it was only like 4 or 5 episodes ago. I did the strawberry lemonade, that poppy soda, the other one. In that little can, I totally forgot that the flavor was strawberry lemonade. That, you know, it did have kind of similar vibes. Obviously this one was way, way sweeter. I talked about in that poppy episode that it was kind of more subdued, and it was you know, I think that was episode 96 or 97. I put a picture of it in the episode, so you can check that out. But I thought it was interesting that I found those two strawberry lemonade sodas kind of back to back. And I didn't even realize, but back to the drink at hand, I was close. You know, go back and watch to see what I gave it, but I was teetering on that 7. I was teetering on that 7, and that's always like a hard line. It's always that, and the, like, you know, even the passing scores. You know, you're like, does this pass? And then
passing scores and round numbers, you know, getting over a milestone number is definitely tough. And like, I feel like more often than not, if you have to think about it, it should probably go to the lower end of it. But yeah, it's definitely tough sometimes.
And I just didn't think it wowed me enough. Like, I kind of, and it might've been, I said this at the top of the episode also, I had high expectations for it. You know, I thought it was really going to deliver on some strong flavors, and it wasn't as strong as I had hoped. So that's kind of my quick rundown on Nisto drinks this week. Let me know if you have any other comments, any other suggestions. I have one in mind that I've been meaning to try from a little spot called Dunkin'. I don't know if you guys know about that place. So I have one in the chamber if no one has any suggestions. But yes, what is Nisto Eats going to be this week, Mike? Are we doing another pizza or no?
So before I get into that, I wanted to just touch on the expectations thing. I think that's a really rough thing sometimes, you know, like, because it's happened to me a number of times already too, where it's like you set the pre-bar, if you will.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I have high expectations for something like this. And then you try it and it doesn't deliver, which hinders the score, and I think rightfully so. You know, if it's something that sounds amazing,
or they say that they're the best wings in Orlando for several years,
or best pizza, it should be the best, and if it's not, then you should lose points. So I agree with that. I think I actually saw that when I was in Vegas. I think that was the first time I saw it, and I didn't try it, but I did see it, and I was like, "Ooh, that sounds good." But I'm glad you tried it, and you know, unfortunate that it was a bit of a letdown.
Yeah.
Nisto Eats. So right now, time of recording, it is Friday morning. So I have not done my episode yet, but when this is posted, the episode will be out. So go and watch it. But we're taking a 1 week break from the pizza series, because spur of the moment, SmackDown is in Tampa, so I'm going there with a couple friends from school. Shout out to Anthony, shout out to John. We're going to Tampa, and we're going to Hogan Hangout. It's a restaurant. I'm assuming Hulk Hogan is the owner or something, but apparently it's like a wrestling themed restaurant. The three of us have never been there, to my knowledge. I don't think they've been there, but it's going to be exciting either way. So quick break, 1 week break from the pizza series because of the spur of the moment decision to go to Champa Bay or Tampa Bay, whichever one you want to call it.
Yeah, no, that's super exciting. Two quick comments. I know we're 20 minutes in, so we're going to get to the dinner date. Yes. But I did want to say, oh, I forgot one of them already. Oh, I'm excited to watch the episode, and you guys should watch the episode if you haven't already. Obviously, it's out, but I'm excited personally to watch it. I also just went to a wrestling-themed restaurant on Long Island. I meant to tell you about, but I'll tell you here on the thing. It's like semi-wrestle. It's called Lucharitos. It's a Mexican place.
That sounds like something that I need in my life.
It's in Greenport, so it's kind of far.
Deep.
Yeah, deep. But it was a very cool atmosphere. They had a bunch of cool, you know, memorabilia, paintings, stuff like that. Rey Mysterio.
Rey Mysterio had to be all over that joint.
Yeah, there was. But there was also like classic like 90s wrestlers, which, nice. You know, I also thought connecting theme we'll get into talking about with Vince right about now. So definitely check that out. It was a good place too.
Sweet. Lucharitos. Maybe I do an Esto Eats there when I'm back home.
Yeah, maybe.
Lucharitos.
Compare it to the Hulksters.
I have no idea what kind of food they have. If I had to guess, I haven't looked at the
American
menu. Yeah, I was thinking American. I think it's gonna be like burgers, burger kind of joint. But who knows? Maybe it's just like vegetables and vitamins.
American.
You know, eat your vegetables. Eat your prayers, say your vitamins.
I am a real American. Oh, we're going to get copyright or something. This
episode. Yeah, probably. I mean,
yeah, it sounds exactly how the song goes. So.
Wouldn't be the first time. But it didn't even happen on the big game one.
Yeah, the big bowl. All right.
The big bowl. The big bowl game.
So,
Vinny Mac.
If this is your first one, I think this is the seventh or so dinner date. Again, it'll be in the title. Exactly what number last episode or last dinner date was with the one and only Lil Wayne. So, right. You know, if you haven't been to one of these before, the seventh.
I just looked real quick. Yeah. Vinnie cool. Mac, lucky number seven.
So this is, we essentially do a little interview of how we think questions we would ask these celebrities, you know, these people that we feel like it would be really cool to interview. We had one live dinner date, which was really cool. We actually interviewed Steve and Tony, Jersey Muscle Society. Go back and watch that. That was a real fun episode. So the first order of business always with the dinner date is we got to decide what we're eating, where we're eating with, and when we're eating with this person. Is it breakfast, lunch, dinner? I have a pretty strong idea here.
So do I. I'll let you go first then.
Well, I was thinking I was thinking definitely dinner.
Yes. Okay. So we're on the same page here.
I feel like he's a high class guy.
Okay. Also same page.
So I was thinking maybe like, I feel like we did this for maybe Jen Aniston too. I was thinking like, maybe like, was it Jen Aniston? I was thinking like a nice steakhouse.
Okay. So we're really on the same page.
Yeah.
So thing I was thinking of, I was like very specific. I think he's a very late night dinner guy, like midnight dinner.
Oh, I don't know. Midnight.
You don't think so? I just don't think he sleeps.
Oh, okay.
So like, I think at midnight dinner, I thought of a like super upscale steakhouse in like Connecticut because, the warehouse. What the hell is it called?
Headquarters.
That's it. Yeah. So I'm thinking midnight steak dinners with Vinnie Mac in Connecticut.
What about like 9 p.m.?
10.
All right, fine.
Because he wakes up at like 3 to work out.
Yeah.
It's like 3 or 4. So I guess he does sleep. I think he sleeps. It's like a power nap. I think it's like a 20-minute nap.
20 minutes?
I
think maybe like 2 hours.
Nah, on a real sleepy day. But I think on average, it's a 20-minute power nap. He just wakes up. I'm good. I'm working out. This is good. So 10 o'clock steak dinner date, Vinnie Mac.
Does he drink? Do you drink, Vince?
He doesn't. I think he's pure water and protein.
Water, protein. That's all you
eat. Maybe a glass of warm milk before his 20-minute nap.
Extremely rare. I'm guessing he's getting this steak. I think he's getting this steak
absolutely.
It's mooing.
Yeah, right? It still has like white and black on it, for, like the skin. Definitely.
It's still got some marbling on the, you know? Oh my gosh, I just made my chair go down. I didn't mean to do that. Hold on.
Yeah, that's the worst. I talk about Vinny Mac. So I guess I'll start us off. I don't know how to approach Vince McMahon, especially with the first question, even in a hypothetical situation.
Yeah. This is. I mean, he's an intimidating man. We'll put that
definitely
out there.
Is. I've never gotten the privilege of meeting him. I've been in the same room with him because I've been at shows where he's at, if that counts. But like, he his entrance, he comes out and I'm in the stands hundreds of feet away and I'm like, uh-oh, it's Vinnie Mac.
Yeah.
Vinnie Mac. So like, now if I'm sitting down to dinner with him, I have to ask him like hard hitting questions here. I don't know where I would start. I would want to start us off easy.
Of course.
I would want to say like, oh man, there's just so many things I'd want to say.
Yeah.
Something is like jumping out, like the Attitude Era. I'd want to ask him first things first, like about the Attitude Era. I don't even know though, like what specifically I would ask about the Attitude Era. Maybe like ask him like a little bit of a hard question with like WCW. Like, were you ever like nervous? You think he was ever nervous about WCW and their like competition?
I think he has
said
to
the C word.
I know.
That's a big thing now.
Yes. I saw you tweet about the C word.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, yeah.
Because Cody said it. Cody said it. And Vince the other day said, they're the competition.
Yeah. Well, we'll probably get to talk about that a little bit down the line.
Something's gotta be brought up about the A, E, and the W.
But I think as much of like a egocentric guy he is and like so confident in himself, you know, as a strong businessman, which like rightfully so, he's, you know, he just sold the WWE network for $1 billion, you know.
I think it was 2 billion.
Yeah, over a billion.
Either way, it was a
one
lot.
Or 2 billion, you know. Once we're up in those numbers, it's like, you know, he's making an insane amount of money moves, you know, as he's taught his son, Shane O'Mac. But anyway, I think he had to be nervous. I mean, like, there was a good stretch of time there where WCW was in the lead in the Monday Night Wars. So like, you can only, and you know, town jumping ship and stuff like that, you know, at the time, there's only so much you can do. But I think that was like such a awesome time. I bet like you said, with the Attitude Era and what spawned from the Monday Night Wars, it's just like, it was so, obviously I was not born yet, but I know all about it, obviously from mm-hmm. being a wrestling fan for so long, just like, being so transcendent into pop culture and like how many people, you know, were invested in what was going on is something that I don't think I was ever see really again.
I don't think so either. Even this current stage of like, you know, WWE versus AEW, it's not the same. It doesn't feel the same. And I know Vince is here, but I don't think they're winning this one. But anyway, we'll digress from that.
Yeah, and I guess like one of the things I think is so interesting about the Attitude Era, and obviously he played such a big part in it because he was like one of the main characters, you know, mm-hmm. in it that he really played up that persona, you know, that villain who was there.
So
and he was so good at it. I think so, like kind of my question that stems off of that is like, he was just the commentator and I don't know, maybe we'll get to talk about that later, but he, you know, morphed himself into this, you know, tremendous character that, you know, really played such a vital role. So I was just like, I think it's so crazy. And like, how did he think that up and how did he play it to like such a T? How much of it was like true to like kind of who he is, and how much of it was played up for the show. I wonder.
I think for that, and I think for like a lot of like good to great like wrestlers and their gimmicks, if you will,
yeah,
are them. It's like their actual personality, and I've heard a lot of wrestlers say this too. It's yeah. their actual personality, like turned up to 11.
Yeah,
and I think that's kind of how the Vince McMahon character, not just the person. I think the Vince McMahon character in the Attitude Era, I think that was very much just like him, but like higher than 11. Like I think he just really turned it up,
and it's really cool that he was able to get it up to 15 or 17.
Yeah.
On that scale, like that he fully embraced it and was able to really run with it.
Because if you think about it, like it makes total sense. And like he maybe like nowadays he gets a lot of heat and stuff for some decisions. But at that time, if you think about it, and even now, it's just like, oh, this is the boss. More often than not, nobody likes their boss.
Right.
So naturally the boss is going to be a heel.
Yeah.
So like, why not turn it up to 17 and be like an absolute jerk?
Yeah.
I think I was like, do I want to say Richard? I'm not going to say Richard. You know, like, why not? You know, because that's the time. It's like, if you think about it, everybody's complaining about their jobs. It always stems from the boss. It's like, oh, I hate my boss. He's such a jerk. He made it relatable.
Yeah. Him and Austin, relatable. You know?
It was just the headbutting. And that's why Austin got so over, because he was just like the rebel, like almost anti babyface. Cause like he was doing some like messed up stuff. He was getting arrested and fired and like driving in beer truck Zambonis and stuff.
Yep,
like
yep.
that's not a good guy, but no. It was relatable.
Yeah. All the things you wish you could do, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's why it was still over, because you lived vicariously through Stone Cold for spraying your boss with a bunch of beer and hitting him with the bedpan in the hospital, punching his broken foot. Classic.
Yeah.
I would have to ask him, and I think he'd get mad at me for this one. I think I'm gonna ask the first one that I think he gets mad. Why does he hate tag team wrestling so much?
When you
had, like, if we're sticking with the Attitude Era, like that's when like tag team wrestling like really, really started to amplify with the Hardys and Edge and Christian, Dudleys and the APA and so on. The tag team wrestling is just so good when it's done proper and you have the tag team talent.
That's a great question.
And like I could just go on and on about tag teams that were just like washed away and stuff, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like maybe that isn't talked about enough. It's a really good point, because like people look back and like, oh yeah, they had all the great ladder matches, blah, blah, blah. But like that's really like the highlight. That's really the only highlight of it, you know, in between all of those. You know, it was just lowly, you know, middle of the card, no real story development or anything crazy for what they were. You know, they never really did capitalize on it. You know, they could have done real big things with the Brothers of Destruction. They could have went on a huge tag team run or something like that. They could have made so many awesome tag teams work. And they haven't. And, you know, it's continued to be, you know, somewhat of an ailment, I would say, for WWE for many, many years. So I don't know why. I mean, I don't know if that's an answer we don't have, but it really is. It's a missed opportunity for sure that there have, you know, like you just said, you could go on and on with how many tag teams throughout the years. One also, like, obviously they're so iconic, but like, if you really think back to it, I don't know, like Legion of Doom. Mm-hmm. They could have been like mega, you know, like
huge in like Japan, WC. I think they were WCW, but like, yeah, they were huge. They were pretty over in the WWF at the time, but like still not full potential.
Yeah.
And like, I think maybe we'll get into it, but like anybody from over here.
Yeah.
The Revival, for goodness sakes.
Oh yeah. Like current. I didn't even
yeah like current, current like current too like telling you, it all stemmed from back then, but it's just like to now too. It's just like you have these incredible talent for either just sticking with tag teams, because if I could go on and on about call ups from NXT, but like you have these amazing tag teams, and just like, why?
Yeah.
I want to know too. I'm sorry, I'm doubling up on questions since I've mentioned NXT. What gets lost in translation from NXT up to the main roster? And why NXT is still considered developmental is just is asinine. Yeah.
Because it doesn't really make sense at all.
It doesn't. It's Triple H worked so hard for like 2+ years, maybe 3 years, to get it to where it was like the third brand. Like they had the Survivor Series stuff with NXT. Like it was starting to feel legitimately like a third brand, as it should, because it's the best show that WWE has. Mm-hmm. So why would you belittle it to a developmental?
It's diminishing its value. It can't get to here where it has the potential to get to. You're limiting it to being right here, even though your actual shows are down here. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
NXT has I would single-handedly carried WWE to keep them like alive.
Yeah,
because it's not Raw. No. I'll just say that. Going off on a little bit of a tangent for like current times, but
yes, I think so. They weren't the greatest tag team, but also just like thinking about the transition from NXT to the main roster that just absolutely demolished the Ascension.
I was thinking them too. So like they weren't the best,
but they were so over in NXT.
They were, you know, again, that was like great in NXT. You don't have to be like great wrestlers, but they had like a crazy tag title run in NXT, and then they're brought up, and then they're doing like,
They get squashed by the Road Dogs. Road Dogg and Billy Gunn.
It's just so, I just don't understand it. And like, I want Triple H to come out and say something, be like, dude, what the heck are you doing to my talent?
Yeah, it's tough to do that. Your father-in-law does a little bit, right?
I don't want to go too deep down the rabbit hole, but right now with Karrion Kross.
Yeah, it's happening again.
He lost to Jeff Hardy in less than 2 minutes. Undefeated NXT champion goes up to Raw and loses to Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
In less than 2 minutes. What are you doing? Apparently there was some long-term story behind it or some BS, but I don't know. But Jeff got cold.
I think now this is kind of branching off to this discussion in a way, but I also mean it in other ways. It's just like he's obviously made mistakes, right? Misbookings, bad decisions. Yeah, I just like fell. I yeah. I just think it's like, so my question, I guess, is like, how do you keep going with how do you not dwell on those past decisions and like the what ifs of like how things could have played out differently.
Mm-hmm. I think like for him, he's so confident that like, I don't want to say that he learns from his mistakes, because mm-hmm. clearly sometimes he doesn't, but at the same time, I think he's just so confident in what he does do right, that he doesn't hang himself up on the, you know, missed opportunities and stuff like that. You know, it's just like, I don't know what he would say. It was just like, oh well, like I may have done one thing wrong, but I did 9 other things correctly. And like, I think he's more of like a glass half full type of guy, you know. And I don't think he would dwell on, you know, certain things that maybe he should dwell on, like the revival getting away from him.
Right. I mean, I just feel like it's so hard. Like, the thing is that you have to have kind of that, like, okay, it's just going to brush off you if you're at that position and you're at that level and things are, you know, every year, every month, things, you know, are going wrong. You know, even if someone gets injured, whatever, like, mm-hmm. it can derail how things were going to go. But just in general, it's just so, it's, I feel like it's such a hard spot to be in to even like try and work around all of those things where you're like, oh my gosh, how did I not see that X should have so not went so. This way, you know?
Yeah. Or,
this person should have went over, you know, or, you know, whatever.
There's so many cases like that.
Exactly. Too, it's just know? Like, that's what maybe like think about the question. There's like so many. It's like how I personally, mean, maybe just how I am as a person, like, I feel like that would just like fit.
Yeah.
I would just sit in that for so long.
I think especially with like nowadays, there's just so much talent and there's so much like exceptional talent. It would be impossible to, you know, push everybody to, you know, the main event scene, because then you have like nothing for the mid card. You have nothing for, you know, tag teams, even though they don't really do tag team wrestling, but whatever. But, you know, if you talk about like everybody that has potential, that's like really good in the ring, your main event scene is just so loaded when the main event scene shouldn't be so loaded. You know, it shouldn't be like, oh, everyone, like at the same time, I think everyone should be a feasible, like legitimate contender. But at the same time, I don't think they should necessarily be there all the time.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Cesaro. I mean, I love Cesaro. They should have had the title on him years ago.
Right.
But it's not really weird when you saw him going up against Roman Reigns. They built it up, you know, they built it up well. And it was just like, yeah, like he deserves it. Maybe they'll finally pull the trigger. And naturally they don't because they hate me. But it's not weird to see someone. Okay, here's a better example. Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is Universal Champion, went down, did like, you know, Intercontinental stuff, but then he went like back towards that scene. So, and it's like not weird. They can jump back and forth. And I think that's how it kind of should be.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. I have two more questions.
Sure.
I have many.
They're just kind of coming to me.
Yeah.
And they're gone.
I have many, but just for sake of time, I have two more questions.
Sure.
Okay. So here's one that, I don't know. Maybe we've talked about this off camera or something. This is going a different direction now. When did it click for him that he wanted the Undertaker streak to be a thing? Like at what number was it like, oh hey, this guy's undefeated at Mania.
Yeah.
Like let's have him go on. And like what was the like at that time, like what did you have like an end goal, like a long-term end goal? Like if it, say it clicked at like 7, it's like, oh, he's 7-0. Let's get this to like 20, you know, like what was, I want to know when it really clicked and been like, hey,
yeah,
kind of have something here. And then, you know, Brock happened.
Right. I think it's so, I think that's a really interesting question. I wish we knew the answer. I think that would be a beautiful question to ask him.
Right.
But
like, there's no way they thought about it right away. Right. Like,
yeah. But
at number one,
no,
I think it kind of just happened.
Yeah. I think it probably happened over time. And then
they realized,
and it's just something that they kind of, you know, stumbled upon, you know, maybe I would probably guess like it's around that 7 to 9 number. It's like, oh,
I'm trying to remember like when they started mentioning it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was probably around.
I remember, like, I think, cause I remember WrestleMania 18.
Just going to say 18.
Cause I had
Ric Flair.
He beat up Ric Flair and that was his number 10.
That was
number 10. I remember that very well. I had it on VHS. So I watched it a lot. But
yeah.
I remember them mentioning it then. So I'll have to go back and see if they mentioned it at 17 or 16 or like when they had mentioned it. But
yeah,
I know for a fact they mentioned it that he's 10-0 at 18.
Yeah. And the other thing about it is like just like kind of answering like the long term booking part of it. I know obviously like stories have came out that like there was plans to end it sooner, you know, Randy Orton was gonna do like the whole Legend Killer thing, and that Like the streak was definitely so established cool. at that point. Yeah. I think they faced it 21, if I'm not mistaken. And so he would have been.
I'm glad it didn't.
I think he was only like 13-0 at that point, or 12-0 or something like that. So,
well, if he was 10-0 at 18,
yeah, so he would have been 12-0 going into 21. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, obviously 12-0 is impressive.
It wouldn't have been the same.
It would not have been the same. And I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, don't love that the streak ended at all. And that I personally think that they did a pretty good job of booking it, though. I think that might be a hot take, but I think that they turned Brock into obviously, you know, you can have your own take on what Brock has become for the company, but he turned into a legitimate, like, you know, unbeatable, you know, monster that, you know, provide a lot of good entertainment, you know, after the Cena. I feel like the streak plus the Cena demolition, like the first of those, like, Suplex mm-hmm. City matches. Yeah,
the SummerSlam match.
Yeah. I feel like those in conjunction just like super cemented him.
So to be devil's advocate here.
Yeah.
What was Brock before beating the streak?
Yeah, he wasn't as because
you don't think so?
No, because he lost to Cena at Extreme Rules when he first came back. And then he took an L to Triple H at WrestleMania. You know, they didn't do as established,
but he was still Brock Lesnar. He was still like a former
obviously it would have been better to go to someone younger, but I think that they did with the decision that they made, you know, I guess it's fair.
Also, I don't think he should have lost to Orton. So like that was a good call, because if you lost to Orton, you think about how many of the matches that happened after that we never would have gotten, like the Shawn Michaels stuff, the Triple H stuff. Like those matches were some of the best ones of the streak.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I personally, so like Brock beating the streak is actually what got me back into wrestling, because at that time I wasn't watching wrestling, but I was on Twitter and it was blowing up that the streak is over. I'm like, no way. And then there was all this stuff that like it was an accident, like Brock wasn't supposed to win, but he like forced a win and like whatever. And it turns out that wasn't the case. Undertaker did get legitimately hurt in that match. Yeah.
I've heard him say like he doesn't even remember the
match. He doesn't remember like any of it, which is really, really sad.
Yeah.
But I don't think Brock needed it.
No,
he was already a legitimate athlete, a legitimate threat, and a legitimate contender. He was undisputed champion in his first run, dominating the UFC, unfortunately got hurt, had to come back. But like, yeah, you know, the losses to Triple H and Cena, you know, maybe hurt him a little, but not, he still didn't need it to be Brock Lesnar, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so I've heard Taker say that he did want to lose the streak to Brock, but that was the first time Brock was there.
Mm.
Then I also heard that he would have liked to lose it to, at this time is when I thought it should have happened, Roman Reigns. Mm. So he ended up losing to Roman anyway,
which is absolutely stupid. Well, I don't want to go too much on the streak, but I feel like all the stuff after the streak is just like so puzzling to me also. He's going to beat Bray Wyatt still, but then he's going to lose to Roman, and then he's going to beat Shane and, you know, whatever. Like, it's like, it's such a weird point. Oh, now he's 23-2. Oh, okay. Like,
it's, which is stupid. If the streak was ever to end, it should have only been one loss.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and
yes, because then it loses, like it doesn't put Roman over as much. It
doesn't put Brock over. Like Paul Heyman did a great, which of course he can make anything great, but like the whole thing of being the one in 20-1 or 21-1, whatever the hell his record was. I think it was 21-1. It was so good. You know, but then it's like, oh yeah, I'm one of the two in 22-2. It's like, that's stupid. It wouldn't work. But I think that if the streak was going to end, it should have been one loss. And I think that at that time, it should have been Roman.
Yeah.
I don't think Roman should have won when he did. I think Roman should have won when Brock did. Or could have just been somebody completely different, like Cesaro. That would have been weird. But Brock was already a legitimate contender, is basically what I'm getting at. And at that time, Roman was not. And I think that could have almost avoided all of the Roman being forced down our throat type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, because then it would have been like, oh, wow. Here's this guy that's like legit. I don't know. We went on for a while about the streak.
Yeah. Well, you have your one last question. So maybe we get to that and then we wrap it up.
You have any?
No. You said you have one more plan. So I'll let you get to that.
What I would want to know is what. So like you mentioned it, like injuries and stuff like that, all that kind of stuff happens. What for Vince would have been the hardest thing to like work with on the fly, like something happening that wasn't expected, and like how did he work through it? Whether it was like a long-term booking thing, maybe somebody got hurt or whatever the case may be, maybe it was him entering the Rumble pulling both of his quads to make the announcement.
That's what I was just
gonna say. Such a legendary
my answer. That is something super on the fly though. That like, oh, both guys landed at the same time at the Royal Rumble. Like you have to, like, that's something that's probably never going to happen again unless like they script it to do.
So you think it would be that both guys landing at the same time and then he enters the ring and pulls both of his quads. Like
that's what probably a the hardest unit. Thing.
What an absolute unit. He didn't crack at all. He didn't even show emotion that like he just pulled both of his hamstrings, both of his quadriceps completely torn. He just sat there and made a decision.
Yeah.
I would have been crying.
I don't know if that's the hardest. There's probably, you know, a story he could tell us.
Probably.
But that, I mean, that was the first thing that came to my mind too, that was just absolutely insane. But there's a ton of injury stories that have kind of derailed, you know, really, you know, big runs or something like that. I'm trying to think on the fly though.
What a beautiful disaster that was. Because that wasn't supposed to happen. And like they actually hit at the same time. Like for an accident, they hit at the same time, which was nuts. And it worked out very well, unfortunately, for Vinny's quads. But I don't know. I think that would be tough. You know, I'm sure, like you said, there's probably some behind scenes stuff that, you know, he would know, but like, oh yeah, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like, I was just thinking like backstage kind of stuff. Like, again, like we probably wouldn't know about, but like people not getting along, there's like, you know, things probably come up out of nowhere all the time where it's just like, oh, this isn't going to work out. You know, you're going to have to call a lot of audibles, I would imagine.
How did we not mention? We could go on for hours with this, but you said call an audible, and I thought the Montreal Screwjob.
Oh, yep. I was thinking about
goodness gracious. I'm sure he wouldn't want to talk about it.
Yeah. I feel like he's talked himself out of that. Probably. I don't know. The first thing I just thought of is like, why try to make it a thing again at WrestleMania 26 to like, bury it? That was so weird to me. Just like, is no need for,
there's no need to bring it up again.
No need for ancient Bret Hart to come out and
see, like, when they tried to do it again, but like in storyline. And it made sense with Punk and Cena, and it worked out beautifully.
Yes,
like that worked out beautifully, and it didn't happen. Like, they didn't screw Punk, which was great. I would love to know about him and Punk too. But
why did you make yourself ECW champion? How about that?
He won the WWF title. There's so many. He won the Royal Rumble.
I just feel like the WWE CW just like,
what a stain.
With his do-rag or whatever he was wearing.
Yeah, he was going the do-rag at the time because he lost the hair bald, versus hair. Yeah. He went bald.
Yeah.
And he was the do-rag. And then he started wearing like a fedora. Vince has had style. He also came back from the dead.
Yes, he also died.
Up. He blew up.
What was it like? Tell us about it.
Yeah, what was death like? What did that feel like blowing up?
Yeah. Obviously, we could go on and on with
so many things for Vinnie Mac, but
yeah, we could even do a part two or something.
Honestly, I could. We could do part two, part three, even probably.
But I think that's where we'll wrap it up.
Yeah.
His hair and style choices and coming back from the dead.
I'd have to ask him his favorite suit or favorite tie.
Oh, yeah. Him with the different colored knot.
Yeah. Different. That's so interesting.
Do you actually walk like that? You know, what's
how did the walk come about? How did that happen?
And the other
question, I would also go ahead.
Sorry, no, you go, you go.
I was gonna tell him that I won a Halloween costume contest as Vince McMahon. It's real life.
Yeah.
Real life. Shout out to VPW.
Also, Vince, does this happen? When you microwave lasagna,
what a transition! What a transition! Yeah, check this out. At 90s WWE on Twitter, the caption is "Lasagna after heating it up in the microwave be like," and it is a 3x3 grid here of Kane, like OG Kane from the 90s with Hellfire and Brimstone.
Yeah, in the background.
All the way around. The top, the sides, the bottom, and then the middle square.
Yeah, only the middle. There's eight Kanes, yeah, and then there's one.
The middle square.
Stone Cold
Steve Austin. It's so relatable. And like not even just with lasagna. Just
yeah.
Everything in the microwave.
You put it in the microwave. Is one thing I think. Also, always the middle's cold, man.
Always the middle. You have to, whatever the instructions say, you have to add like 30 seconds. At least 30 seconds, because I know the middle's not getting, it's not getting any love.
But I bring it up because Vince probably has very high tech kind of microwave. He probably also doesn't really microwave food either. I don't know.
I feel like he's not a microwave guy.
But if he does, I bet it's very hot and very ready.
Very hot.
We got two very interesting what's happening here.
I just saw that thing there too.
You know, hashtag Stranger Things. I don't know what's going on there. Oh, and then Suicide Squad. We got another Harley Quinn for you.
Yeah.
She's in it. I just watched it last night. I recommend it. It was pretty good. It was pretty good.
I still haven't even seen the first one that came out. Well,
here's
out,
the
like,
thing.
Years
it's
ago.
Not a sequel. It's not a sequel. It's like a reboot.
Oh.
The first one was like kind of like, eh.
So should I not watch the first one? Should I watch
this one?
You
don't need to, but you could watch both. It's Margot Robbie in both, so double dose.
I know. I love her.
You could probably watch both of them. I don't know what's going on with Stranger Things, so I'll check that out afterwards.
Yeah, we're going to have to check that out. Maybe it's season four. Maybe season four is dropping finally. I still haven't watched season three, but you know what? It's okay.
So that is episode 71 of hashtag Nisto Bros 71. Podcast.
71.
It looks like there was just pictures released from season four. No release date or anything. It was just kind of like.
We're getting there, though.
Teaser
we're
getting picks. There.
Yeah. Yeah, we're getting there.
Also, I know I have like the setting on Zoom where you can't hear background noise, but my dog has been barking for 5 minutes and I don't know what's going on. Absolutely insane. Love Zoom. Great technology. But yeah, definitely stay tuned next week. Episode 72. We're going to be making movies. We're going to randomize the genres after we hang up here and after we end the
I'm scared. Kind of scared.
And we'll see. But stay tuned. Making movies number 5 or something like that.
It's 5.
You know, that
maybe
and
we
the dinner
start
date,
keeping
that and the dinner and date came along at similar times, but
kind of on accident too.
Yeah,
the movie thing was definitely an accident.
Always
I don't remember
evolving.
I think
the dinner date that was just your idea and we went for it and we kind of talked about it. We refined the idea, But
I know the movie thing came accidentally. It was right. Another beautiful disguise, like the Rumble and my quads. No, I'm just kidding.
So, you know, Mike,
what do you got?
I got a classic for you.
Yeah,
I got a classic for you. A man and a giraffe.
Oh, classic.
Into a bar.
Okay.
You know, they walk into a bar.
Okay.
And after a few drinks, very sad, the giraffe fell over and dies. Can't handle the alcohol.
Oh, wow.
Giraffes can't drink alcohol. Dead.
That's why I didn't see any giraffes when I went to Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, after that, the man, he leaves. He, you know, he has nothing to do with this giraffe. He's leaving. And the bartender says, "Hey, you can't leave that lion there." The man turns around as he's walking out. "It's not a lion. It's a giraffe."
I knew it.
Yeah, I know.
I was letting you go with it because I loved where it was going. I loved where it was heading.
It's a giraffe, not a lion, stupid bartender.
All right. I just thought of Patrick when it was like the first episode where he's blowing bubbles. It's an elephant. It's a giraffe. Oh, so man. Good. That's funny. All right. Yeah, I'm struggling because I tried to come up with a carpentry pun.
Oh, okay. You know,
yeah,
woodwork that, and whatnot.
Yeah, that would work.
Oh.
Yeah. I think I nailed it. Oh. But but nobody saw it.
Oh my gosh.
Well, 3-for-1.
Woodwork nailed it.
Woodwork. You said woodwork. I was like, no, that was the first one.
Yeah. Well, I was just saying, like, oh yeah, carpentry, woodworking. Yeah,
that would work.
Yeah. But it would work.
That would work. I think I nailed it. Nobody saw it coming. A little 3-for-1. Dad says jokes on Instagram.
Love it. Great, always contributing.
Fogging up because I'm laughing.
I think we did all our plugs too. I think
I think so. About it, you know, we're still Cheesley's, Farmingdale, new place. Go there. Nisto Ships. Use Nisto Ships in the description bio thing. The link. That's what I'm trying to say. Do that. Yeah.
That's all we got.
All we got. Bye.
Stay tuned. Nisto Eats is up, but I'm excited to watch it. So it's not there yet, but I'm going to see it. Hulkster's Lounge and Cafe. That's not what it's called. What's it called?
It should be Hogan's Hangouts.
Hogan's Hangout.
Maybe it's plural.
Lounge and Cafe.
I like that better. I'm going to pitch it. I hope Hulkster is there so I can say, "Hey, brother, why don't you change the name?" That hurt my throat.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Anyway.
All right. A little over an hour for you guys.
Very good. Little over an hour, as usual.
That's all I got.
That's all I got. That's all we got. Bye.
Peace. Love. Sip.
Eat your prayers and say your vitamins and eat. I said eat twice. And listen.
You said eat your prayers and say your vitamins.
Yeah, I'd eat your prayers, say your vitamins. Because I said it before, so I wanted to stick with it. Say your prayers, eat your vitamins. Eat your prayers, say your vitamins. Eat your vegetables, say your prayers. And then take your vitamins with some water after you have some food because it's going to mess with your stomach.
Okay.